Before I ever touched the first package, I learned about PSP, which for us is our philosophy of people, service, profit. We invest in our people so that we deliver great service. Through that service, we'll make a profit. We take those profits and invest it back in our people. It's a continuous circle.
There's a revolution taking place right now.
Talent and intelligence are equally distributed throughout the world, but opportunity is not.
The talent economy, the idea that at the center of work is the talent, is the individual.
The way we work has changed forever, and highly skilled talent is demanding flexibility around the way they work and the way they live. This podcast brings together thought leaders, staffing experts, and top talent to talk about the evolving nature of work and how companies can navigate these changes to remain competitive, drive innovation, and ensure success. Welcome to the Talent Economy Podcast.
I'm your host, Michelle Labby, Chief People Officer at TopTel. Founded in 1973, FedEx Corporation has grown to become one of the world's largest transportation companies. The $66 billion corporation delivered an average of 15 million packages per day in 2023 to customers in 220 different countries. Today, the company operates 7 distinct segments and services with over 500,000 employees. Joining us today is Mike Lauderdale, VP of Human Resources for FedEx Services, the organization responsible for providing sales, marketing, IT, communications, customer service, and other crucial support to the corporation's transportation segments. Mike oversees diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives and drives strategies to attract, develop, and retain a highly talented global workforce. Since joining FedEx in 1985, he's worked across multiple business functions, including customer support, IT, and now HR. Prior to his current role, he served as VP of FedEx Customer Technologies. In his nearly 40 years of service, he's won the FedEx Five-Star Award, the company's highest team member honor, 4 times. In addition to his work with FedEx, he's a member of the Board of Trustees for Memphis Museums, Inc. I'm excited to hear more about your experience and perspectives today. Welcome, Mike. So I'd love to begin by talking about your career journey. You know, when you started at FedEx in, I know you don't want to age yourself, 1985. When you started with FedEx in 1985, what did your role entail? And what was it about that first position that had you stay with the company for all of these 39 years?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Yeah, so I came to FedEx, started in the hub, non-conveyables, the toughest job in our air hub is possible, moving the big like mufflers and engines and stuff like that. And I really came to pay for my education. They were paying for my college and we had health insurance. Back in those days, you couldn't stay on mom and dad until you were 26. So it was for the health insurance and paid for my education. So the benefits it offered. When I got here, it was a family of people, very diverse, all types of people, a great job to work in the middle of the night and go to school during the daytime and had, you know, another part-time job. And I really stayed for the people and the company itself. I was going to be a filmmaker. It was the 80s. I was going to make music videos. And
wow.
By the time I finished school, I had already gone into a path of a career. And so I stayed with FedEx. Steve, probably good since we don't have really MTV, doesn't really play music videos anymore. It might be a good thing that I stayed.
That is a huge diversion.
Yeah, that's not my path. At least not at FedEx.
Have you been in Tennessee the whole time?
Been in Tennessee the whole time, but I will say that FedEx, because of the different jobs I've had, it has given me the opportunity to see the world. I like to travel personally anyway, but with work with FedEx, I've been to every continent except for Antarctica because we don't deliver packages to Antarctica, shockingly. So I've been around the world and back because of FedEx and the great company, the great opportunities I've had.
That's amazing. So as you said, you've held many different roles throughout your career with FedEx, and now you're in an executive position. So what is the most important lesson that you've learned during your journey with the company?
It is interesting. When I came into the company, before I ever touched the first package, I learned about our culture and what we mean as a company. The two things I mean is, before I ever touched the first package, I learned about PSP, which for us is our culture, our philosophy of people service profit. We invest in our people so that we deliver great service. Through that service, we'll make a profit. We take those profits and invest it back in our people. It's a continuous circle. The other thing is quality-driven management. I learned about those two things before I ever touched the first package. And then once I got into, like, out of the hub and into a knowledge worker job and a business seat and moving through, I was like, those values go with me through my entire career. And we're very focused on continuous improvement. So continuing to make it better. I always say that there's a guy on my team several years ago. He had been on my team more than one time. And he always would come in to work himself out of a job. He's like, oh, I'll take this job and I'll see how to make it better and work myself out of a job. And that's the continuous improvement spirit that we have about quality-driven management. So things like that always made work exciting because nothing ever stayed the same. We always say, change is the one constant we have. And it's very true with FedEx because we're always thinking ahead, especially our chairman would always think ahead about like new markets to get into, new ways to work. And for us, with that and the way we use technology as our backbone, has really made it just an exciting place to work. And so carrying those things through my entire career have been probably the biggest thing for me.
So just a question. So you mentioned the culture. Have those three things changed? Have you evolved the culture?
The culture evolves from the aspect of growth. And I always say it like, we're getting to be middle-aged because we'll be 51 in April. So we're, not that 51 is really middle-aged, but, we're getting to be more mature. We were young. When I started, we were 12 years old. So we were, a preteen. And so you go through your teenage years and then you're growth. Well, now we're getting into that mature age as a company. So the culture evolves in the way we go from when we were, few thousand, 10,000 people to 600,000 plus, but the core is still always being a people first company and the people service profit has stayed the same. Now we've also grown through acquisition. So whether we bought Flying Tigers in 89 or Caliber, which included RPS and our FedEx Ground Service in the late 90s to FedEx Office, the Kinko's acquisition, as we acquired different companies, they brought cultures with them. And so one of the things we always look for when we're acquiring a company is, are they a good cultural fit? Because you really have to be a people person to work at FedEx. And probably my proudest moments at work is when I either talk to an intern who, they're only here for 10 weeks to see that they've already see, oh, this is a different place. The culture here is really alive and strong. Because it's one thing to say it. It's another thing for somebody like that to feel it and see it. So I think, yes, the culture stayed the same. It just has strengthened as we got older.
I love that. So how did your background in operations and IT influence your approach to HR?
That's a great question because I really spent 30 years of my career in IT because I went from operations to what would be like our revenue services into IT. And I spent the bulk of my career in IT. It was interesting. So I've always been very passionate about our culture, leadership development, growth like that. But then I've been in management since the early 90s. A lot of the things you use the HR practices, but you didn't own the HR practices. So with my organization, like my last job, I had 600 people in my org in my last job. We were very focused on culture and leadership development and growth and employee mobility. So those types of things I was used to doing. So when I came to HR, those are just things now I get to do them for a bigger population. But things like compensation or talent acquisition or employee relations, those are things you got help from HR to do. And now I stepped into, I own them. So I thought the good thing I brought to the table was what worked, what didn't as a consumer. So it's like, here's my opportunity to make these things better and different for the user. And then a lot of education, especially compensation. I just had to learn a lot, but I've got an amazing team that they know it inside and out. And so, I ask 1,000 questions and they probably get tired of my questions sometimes.
Well, given your own experiences and your own career trajectory at FedEx, it seems like you all offer a lot of career mobility, opportunities to navigate different career journeys. So how do you help employees do that and then prepare for those?
Yes, it's interesting because some is self, you know, some is your own individual development pain and your own motivation and growth. But a lot is the services we wrap around you. So like I said, I came here, you know, 39 years ago just for the education, and we've done it. We've kept up with as much as we can afford from a taxing perspective, invest to allow you for tuition reimbursement. But we also allow funds for certifications. We've partnered with the University of Memphis on our what we call a life program, where you don't even have to pay anything out of pocket. Because back in my day, you had to, you know, you paid up front and then you got at least a C or above and you got the money back. So now we've started, you know, building in programs. We partnered with the University of Memphis. We're actually working on now building other programs where it's not any out of the pocket. Because, you know, when you're young and you're a handler in the hub, you don't have the same money available to you. So the fact that I can get my education for free, I just have to invest it, is great. The other thing we're looking at is programs that help coach you through your education. Even for the Memphis Hub, we had a program where you could even get your GED if you didn't have your GED. So helping you, because we really feel like if we invest in the employees at all levels, I mean, it's easy to hire, you know, somebody straight out of college into a, you know, a revenue science role or a data analytics role. But the bulk of our employee population is that frontline operations worker. And the things we can make available to them so they can grow their career to be something more. We did something with our FedEx ground handlers called Purple Pathways, where we were helping them navigate out of it. Now, you may want to be in operations. You may want to be in the hub. I mean, I was just at the ground hub in Memphis a few months ago, and I meet a handler out there that's been there for 26 years. I'm like, it's great. It's a great exercise program. You can really stay in shape. So there's people that want to stay in operations. They may want to go into management, but they may like that career as well. So how do we help them nurture their future? So we try to create programs that they feel like they have resources around them to develop personally. But you do have to have that own personal drive to want to do it as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what keeps people staying at the company, right? Yeah. We do the same thing. I want people to stay and grow here. So let's give them the opportunity to move around.
And we are, people get surprised back to culture and longevity. They can, you know, come to FedEx like, I never meet anybody that hasn't been here forever. And it's like, oh yeah, it's like if you're here 10 years, we think you're still a new hire. So it's been interesting to watch.
That's saying something. Yeah. So you're part of FedEx Services, and FedEx Yes. Services is one of several distinct companies within FedEx Corporation.
Right.
So could you share a little bit about what FedEx Services is and what you do for the company as a whole?
Sure. So FedEx Services for now is our back office function. So sales, marketing, IT, finance, all the back office functions that support all the other operating companies. And then we have our express, time definite, airline division, our FedEx Ground, the not as time definite service, and then FedEx Freight, which is your large LTL trucking, and FedEx Office. In April last year, we announced One FedEx that we were bringing the operating companies Express and Ground and Services, all of those back together. We'll still have some distinct subsidiaries like the Freight that are specialty services, but the parcel movement and all the back office functions will be coming together as One FedEx, under the banner of Federal Express Corporation. So that will be our future state. So today for FedEx Services, I'm all things HR except for benefits, except for healthcare. But we have all of those for all the distinct operating companies. So for One FedEx, we're bringing them together. So we're actually right-sizing to say, okay, well, now somebody will be doing learning, development, talent management for the entire enterprise of the company, not by operating company, or you'll be doing talent acquisition or talent strategies, all of those different pieces. That's literally the project we're working on right now, is bringing that together. And so I'm really excited about it.
I mean, that sounds like a lot of facilitation and coordination. How do you help your employees and even your team transition? And people, as you said, can be really resistant to change and worry, and what's my job going to be? Like, yeah. As an HR leader, how do you lead everyone through that?
A whole lot of that right now. So we are at the corporate level. We have a project team that's looking at all the functions to help us bring come back together. So, you know, the legal and the HR and the finance and all that. under the HR umbrella, we've got a core team and some substrings that are focused on everything. So a substring focused just on policies and focused on compensation, employee experience. That's one of the ones I'm working on. I'm also working on the org design and then one around learning. We've been trying to keep the team excited about what's possible in the future, less worried about what am I going to be doing. It's more like what are all the things you wanted to do that now is going to create the opportunity for you to do them.
I like that. So I'd love to shift a little and talk about remote work. So TopTel is, so we've been around for 14 years and we always have been a remote first workforce. We've never had any offices. And I know FedEx more recently pivoted to more flexible work policy called Purple Flex, if I'm not mistaken.
That is it.
So can you, first of all, I have two questions. One, you've mentioned a couple of programs with the word purple in it, so that I want to understand. But can you share a little about your strategy and the different models that your employees fall under?
Well, let's hit purple up front. So our company colors are purple and orange. We've changed them over the years, but purple's always been the constant. So we believe purple, and we do tend to, we like taglines and little fancy names for things. So we try to, Purple Flex is our flex program. The intention of it, because, you know, again, 80% plus of our workforce is operations. So during the pandemic, everything, they're out there. They're out there every day. Now, All the employees feel like, you know, I spent 2 years working remotely from home. So why would I ever want to go back to an office? I'm doing just fine. Our culture is stronger. People are more productive. And that's a relative term. They're working longer, harder. Productivity can be, you know, can be a guessing game. But my belief, and what I've always tried with FedEx Services at the time, and then now the company as a whole, for that desk worker, and not even for the desk worker as much as the position, for the position, where is the position best served? Is it best served in an office environment, or can it be remote or anywhere? So we try to go after it just from the beginning part of the posting process. Like when you're posting a job, do you need that finance analyst to be in a location co-located with other people, or can it be anywhere? And then we had through our Purple Flex policy of if people need to go remote for personal reasons. The biggest one for me is military spouse, because I've got a niece that's married to somebody in the Air Force. But if she worked at FedEx as a marketing analyst, and she's really great as a marketing analyst, do I want to lose her just because her spouse got relocated? So our Purple Flex policy was put in place, one for the remote worker like that, so that we can help, if the position allows it, allow them to apply and get approved to be, you know, to be a remote worker.
I mean, I think the other part about the remote thing is what you were saying earlier. It's like you want the best talent. And that's one of the things that we pride ourselves on is when we open a role, I don't care if they live in US or Europe or Mexico, it doesn't matter. If you're the best marketing analyst, I want you no matter where we are. So it really just opens up that talent pool. So that's something that you all have started to embrace with this?
We've been embracing more and more, but mostly in those knowledge worker, professional desk office roles of hiring talent where talent is. Because again, for operations, they're out there on the streets every day, you know, in the hubs, delivering packages, things like that. We're embracing it more on the places where it makes sense based on the role. And then, again, because I believe in getting talent where talent is. And so let's find that talent and nurture that relationship and then put in the guardrails, if you want to call them that, to say, how do I continue to balance the interaction no matter where the person is? So,
yeah, I do a lot of speaking on remote working just because we've always been remote. And I think I've said that when you're on Zoom, you're all just a box on a screen, right? So I don't know that you have a big office or I sit in a small cube, like we're all kind of one level and every conversation is more intentional. I'm not walking by you in the break room to get a cup of coffee. It's like, no, we're actually getting on a call to have a specific conversation and I'm completely focused on you. Whereas back in the days, you're on a conference call, you're on speaker on mute and you're doing five other things.
I used to, again, with my old team pre-pandemic, I would do like manager calls. And then I would do like skip level calls with folks out in the field. And I would print everybody's picture off so that as I'm listening to them on the phone, I could match the picture. I mean, I knew everybody on the team, but it's like, but I don't know that that's Michelle's voice or that's John's voice because I'm a visual person. I'd have to look at them. And then come along the pandemic, it's like, oh my, this is so great. Now everybody's a Brady Bunch box. I love it. I can see everybody. So I'm not trying to think, who said that? Who said that? I'm cracking up because it's like, we always talk about the spider phone that was in the middle of the table. If I see one now, I'm like, well, that seems so antiquated. It's like, it's like watching an old movie when they pull out a flip phone. It's like, what's that thing in the middle of the table?
Yeah. So I would like to pivot a little bit. I recently saw a really interesting video about FedEx's new package loading AI robot, DexR. I mean, everybody's talking about AI all day, every day. And it felt like it was playing a game of Tetris, right? Watching it.
Yeah.
So how are you seeing AI advancements like this one augmenting your workforce or in HR even? How are you seeing AI?
It's interesting because, I mean, it's a tough job. Like I was talking about the ground handler I saw that had been there 26 years. I'm like, you must really like to work out. You know, on that particular program, we got feedback of people in the trucks and how to improve it. But we've always looked at technology. Now, when I started 39 years ago in the hub, you sort of package it by someone. I know all the airport identifiers to this day because, you know, DTW, that's Detroit, because you sort of package by what somebody hand wrote on a thing. Well, we don't do that today. They had all of, you know, you got the barcode scan, the QR code, things automatically scan through the system. But when it comes to loading, you still have to load. Well, the AI knows optimal. I think I could pack a great trunk. If you want, if we're going on a trip, I could pack your trunk great because I used to pack cages a while ago. So I know how to put it in there. Well, the robot, the machine learned the best way to pack based on the size of the box so they can see how to optimally do it. We have another robot that we have in some of our hubs that we've been testing out, which sorts small envelopes. Now, that's the job I thought I was going to get 39 years ago when I went to the hub, because the friend of mine who talked me into it said, oh, all you do is go and stand, and you got these envelopes and you sort them into bags. I didn't get that role. I got the non-conveyables. Not that I'm bitter, but we have now robots that will take it, put it
well,
in.
Well, now you'd have no job if that was you all those years ago.
But see, that's what's great about having a job. You have no job, but you do have one because we've evolved you into the next part of the job. So we help you move on. Plus, talent is hard. I mean, it's hard because back in those days, you weren't competing with the gig workers. You weren't competing. Right. I mean, there weren't even as many. I can't believe how many fast food restaurants we have. But there's so many operations jobs that we didn't have as many back in those days. So this helps us also stay ahead of any talent shortages by optimizing those things. As far as AI, we have a division called DataWorks that looks at our data technologies and how to optimize all the cutting edge, because we have a lot of data, which means we have a lot of opportunity to have machine learning to think about how might we, you know, taking your design principles, how might we be better?
Or do you see it affecting the HR world?
Oh, I do. Literally, while we're doing this org design for One FedEx, we're starting to look into, say, where are the opportunities for AI to help us solve things? So whether it's, like, I'm very passionate about employee experience, and we look at the seen tangible things of employee experience, but what are things that we don't know, more than just surveys and results? What are all the data points we could pull in to give us a true pulse of the employee experience? We're looking at other transactional works to say, how could AI help us be better if we use the data that we already had available to us? So we're working on, it's funny you're asking that question, because we were talking about it this morning in a meeting while we're trying to do org design, saying, this is a place we could go towards. So what technology do we need to put in place to lead us there?
Yeah, we've been looking at it in recruiting more, you know,
yes.
People having their resumes written, or we have people do tests or assessments, and people are having that done using AI. So,
yeah, and you think about it, like, we get tens of thousands of resumes for all types of jobs. And how could you use that to source through to, because it makes me, I mean, I probably hadn't updated my resume in a while to say, you know, how would I write a resume today?
Do you even have a resume anymore? I mean,
Do you even have one? Yeah, I have a bio.
Exactly. Okay. Well, so as we start to wrap up here, I have two more questions for you.
Okay.
The first is, I am an avid reader. So I always like to ask my guests if there's any books that have positively impacted your leadership that you recommend to other people, or their podcasts. Is there something that you feel very strongly about that you would recommend?
That is a great question. It's not a business book per se. And it's not one people probably think about very often, but JFK wrote Profiles in Courage. And it, to me, it's not a hard read. Some people find it a little hard to read. I don't find it a hard read, but it's stories of people through history, whether it's, you know, John Quincy Adams or Daniel Webster, whoever, who challenged the status quo and challenged the system. The last officer job I had, when I went into the organization, it was an organization I'd grown up in as an individual contributor manager. And I came back to the organization as the officer in charge. And I was thrilled to be there, but I had a lot of questions like, now, why do we do this? So my first year, I did two things. I did the ask why, and we have in our QDM principles, five whys, like ask why five times, and you're going to get to the root of what the opportunity is. So I said, let's ask why. Like, had a team member who produced this report, and I get this report like every week. It just got, the stack just got taller and taller on my desk. And I'm finally go like, why do you, well, you need this because it has all the data, blah, blah. I said, I haven't looked at this report in 3 months that I've been, you know, back in this job. Just stop doing it. And they're like, oh, no. It's like, how long do you take you to do it? Oh, about, 4 hours, 4 hours a week. I'm like, don't do it. Take that 4 hours and find something of greater value. Oh, but you might need this. I said, when it does, I'll ask you to spend 4 hours creating it. But at the moment, I don't. Never needed it again. That was one thing. The other thing was say yes. We had a tendency to talk ourselves out of why something can't happen. And that's kind of, this ties back to the profiles of courage. It is like, just say yes. Just say, somebody asks you to do something, say yes. And then if you can't, then you can go back and say, well, I wanted to say yes. It's a yes and type thing. But say yes, because you may find you really can do something. It's what I really liked about Profiles of Courage. It's like they were willing to break away from the party line, break away from what was the common belief, and actually take a risk out there. And I feel like I'm a good risk taker, because it's a risk to stand up for something you believe in and can be bigger.
So one final question for you. What has been your proudest moment as a leader?
I really think in a previous position, there were a lot of good talent that were untapped. I talk a lot about nature and, I always talk about, pruning a tree to create new growth. So, change the organization a lot to create new growth. But sometimes it's, seeing the baby bird in the nest. It's like, you can't sit here forever. You got to kick out. And I had a few people that were in a prior organization that I saw so much potential in, and then they were just there. It's like, Michelle, you can do so much more, but you're holding yourself back by being scared. So one individual, I put him into a program to be a facilitator, to lead people around different activities. And it was like a learning facilitator program. And I encouraged him to go into, it's like, you've been selected. I want you to go do this program. You're going to start leading this program. It's like, oh no, I don't know that I can get up in front of people, not only present, but actually lead and facilitate the conversation. He did. He learned, he was trained and developed into doing it. Now he's a manager in the organization. And I think it's really helping people see the best in themselves. And I've had different times in my career like that. That's probably one of the more recent ones. But helping them see the potential in themselves that's there. That's probably my proudest moment and moments in my career.
And then you give them Profiles of Courage to help them with that journey.
Exactly. To help you challenge the status quo.
Exactly. So Mike Lauderdale, VP of HR for FedEx Services, this has been a great conversation today. And thank you so much for sharing your insights and your time with us.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it. It's great meeting y'all.
Thank you for listening to The Talent Economy. I'm your host, Michelle Labby. You can find much more information about The Talent Economy on staffing.com and toptel.com/insights. Hubs for bold, comprehensive content featuring business thought leaders and authoritative research focused on the future of work.